What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Sam Altieri Show. I'm super stoked to have an incredible guest on today. With me, I have Ozin. We met in a group like course that we both did, and we were both just drawn to each other's energy. She's all about everything to do with business, personal branding, entrepreneurship, helping people build really cool and powerful personal brands and make a lot of money on the internet. And I was like, I just think we have to have a convo. Like, who knows where this is gonna go, but I know that it's gonna be great. So I want to give you a warm welcome. And how are you today?
Thank you so much, Sam, for being here and for this opportunity. I'm doing great. And I think the space where we connect, that's probably also what drawn us together. We are here to build power empires. We want to impact and serve people, and we can have it all. I mean, we just talked about like you've been traveling the world, you just arrived in a hotel, and I'm the same. I love to live life, and I think in life it's beyond teaching people to sell programs, it's for me like to live a life that is so mind-blowing that I love having great relationships, health, a purpose, serve people. So I'm very excited and stoked for this episode with you.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm the same way. I've always been somebody who's like, I don't want to have to choose. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have to choose between the amazing relationship and the abundant business and the epic friends and the travel and like the list goes on and on and on. And I think just like realizing that it's possible to have all of it is pretty fucking mind-blowing. I'm curious, like, because I don't know much about you, this is going to be fun because I'm just going to like, I want to just like know more about you. Like, how did you even get started in creating like your dream life and your business? And you're living in Switzerland now, which is so incredible. Like, tell me more about like you. I want to get to know like the true you.
Yeah, sure. So I started my whole like career as a traditional artist. So I love painting, drawing, arts, music. And when I was in Switzerland, and when I was like 15, I started my education, like formal education in hotels, hospitality. And when I was 18, I felt like there was this driving me to do more than just being in school. So I felt like I never fit into that. So I was talking to a friend in New York, and I told him I wish one day I could come to New York. And he was like, I mean, come this week. And I was like, I can't, I have school. And then after that conversation, I was like, you know what? Maybe I could really pursue my artistic career. Maybe there's no point here. So actually, after the hotel graduation, I was in a higher education to go further. But
Yeah.
after 2 months, I just decided, no, I have to go. So I went to my mom, and you know, from an Asian family, I'm like Korean, and they're very strict in formal education. I told her, look, mom, I have a big dream. I have to go. And she's like, come to the point. I was like, I will go tomorrow to New York. And she's like, you're crazy. But this thing is, she reacted in a very unexpected way. And she said, if that's what you want to do, I'm going to support your decision. I would wish that you would have continued your formal education, but if that's not your path, then I can't do much about it. And I was like, okay. So I actually booked a flight and I went to New York. So I was like, for 1 year, a freelance artist. I've been doing artistic things, learning languages. I was traveling, writing my book, learning. And from that moment, I discovered actually entrepreneurship because I realized that art alone is not something I wanted. So drawing for like 10 hours, it's very different than drawing just, you know, as a hobby for 10 minutes or for an hour. So I was like, okay, I'm very social driven, impact driven. I need entrepreneurship, but I also want the creative part, like connecting with people, speaking. And that's what led me to, you know, actually to the entrepreneurship, the business. And I started as a digital marketer and copywriter, agency work and work with people. I had no business skills, but you know, like we all got to start somewhere. And there were certain things in business I didn't have first a focus because all I Googled is how do I make money online? And coming from a family that is not super rich, but I just see how my family works really hard. I just saw there's something in it, like I have to break this. And I grew up with, you know, like money's the root of all the evils and not goods and all of these things. So even my mom said that. And then I felt very bad and guilty for the fact I want money. But I've been always a very intensive kid. Like I knew I'm very high performing. I got a higher calling. I want to create more money so I can help more people and have a good life, and I deserve it. And all of these things, they kind of got into that. And in 2019, I had a very hard time I've been through. It's been the time that probably blessed me now looking back the most. But back then, I was going through abusive and toxic relationship. I got kidnapped and raped 3 times in a row, and I disappeared like for 3 months. And I couldn't go to school. And back then, I was going through court trials for 3 years. A guy was after me, and he locked me up in hotel room and raped me. And you know, it has absolutely nothing to do, but I mean, with business, but that part personally, it affects me so much. And it took me like down into a very dark place. And in terms of like dark forces, I feel like I'm a very spiritual as well. So in terms of these dark things, like having nightmares, anxiety, panic attacks, opening door to demons, letting in the dark things, I've been through a lot of these things. But from there, I just had so much pain in me. I couldn't like open my jaw anymore. And I told myself, you know, that incredible pain is something that probably other people also experience. And it became so unbearable that I just kind of turned basically the selfie stick from me to other people. And I told myself, like, I have to get up for other people who are struggling in there. And that led me to, you know, these mental health issues and these healings. It led me to creating in 2019 during COVID a mental health platform called Your Universal Way. I started to contribute on mental health topics, my drive to create my organization, Women Power Leaders. This is dedicated for a lot of women going through from toxic and abusive relationship, going to a healthy relationship. And we know that sometimes the transition is even tougher. You know, healing is sometimes tougher than the actual trauma in it itself. And that's something I wanted to see and change the face of feminism. It's not about just women tearing men down. I think there's a lot of misconceptions. Woman empowerment is about men and women working together. Like God has created this design in nature, and that's something I want to promote more. And all of this deep pain, it led me to my ultimate purpose and transitioning automatically into business coaching, because people have asked me at some point, how do you make money? How did you came out from such a dark place? So the coaching space has called me, and not something because I chose it. It just called me upon that. And I've learned over the past years my struggles of having no focus because I'm so multi-passionate, to see my multi-passion as a cutting edge, to channel it into one common purpose, which is empowerment and healings. And I think everything that we do, I believe same for you as it's like we help people to make money, but I think what we do cannot be summarized into a title. So when I shake off all these labels, this title and things, this is where I truly started to live and create my own rules. So yes, I am a business mentor, and I definitely love to help people make shit tons of money, but I also love to heal people deeply and empowered apart. And it's really about creating a life that a core fulfills you and seeing a woman, man being really in good relationships and traveling the world, whatever the success means to them. And yeah, the pain that led me to that path, basically.
Dude, I love you. I'm like, oh my God, just keep going. Just keep talking. Like, yes. Isn't it funny how, okay, first of all, your story is absolutely incredible. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing. It sounds to me like you've processed it and you've neutralized it and you're not in it anymore. So you can just speak to it. So, like, this happened, you know? But isn't it wild how I feel like this is the power of like energy of, you and I exchanged like literally two sentences to each other, and we were both like, let's have each other on each other's podcasts. And I didn't know anything about you, and you didn't know anything about me. And there was this deep knowing somehow, right? Like, not sure if you felt this, but I feel like you probably did, of like, oh yeah, like we just need to have a convo. I know I'm gonna like you. Like, you have a big heart. Like, I know you want to help people. And also this knowingness of like, You've been through some shit. And I think it takes someone who's also been through some shit, air quotes, to recognize that in someone else and be like, oh, wow, like this is so much bigger than just I'm a business mentor. Cause I feel the same way. It's like, yeah, like I mentor women in business, but it's also healing and frequency work and ascension and uncovering your spiritual gifts and empowerment and being unapologetic and turning your pain into purpose, like you have. Like it's so much about all of the things. So yeah, thank you for sharing your story. You are so epic.
Thanks, you too. Yeah, I think, in terms of like, I saw you in the chat of the inner circle where we went for a weekend. And I was like, the energy, it's like when you meet people, you don't know what it is, but you just know, oh, I have to bite these people. Like I always say, I don't wait to be selected. I always bite on the people that I like and want. And I think it's that why. And I'm also curious to know because you mentioned, like, for you love spiritual work, the empowerment. And I feel as a good business mentor, we almost cannot exclude the other parts. It's so essential to be successful. So, yeah, what is something in your life or, that led you to the entrepreneurial path and maybe one of the hardships that you turned into, something that is really purposeful now to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing about all of this is over the past few years in growing a business, I started my entrepreneurial journey in 2016. That was like the first time I ever received money from someone outside of like my 9 to 5, right? In architecture. And I realized how much fun it was. But through the journey of all of this, it was more like the more I loved myself, the more self-worth I had, the more self-confidence and self-trust I had, the more that I also like surrendered to my calling, the more that it all worked. It wasn't so much like, yes, there's definitely strategic things, but it wasn't so much that stuff as much as it was the energetics and like who I'm actually being. And I'm sure for you can, agree. And honestly, the past maybe five, well, yeah, about 5 years. So I am now with my fiance. We've been together for 5 years, like as of a few days ago. And I believe relationships are the biggest catalyst for healing and growth, right? You have like a mirror walking next to you every day, reminding you of all the shadows, all of the things, right? All the beliefs, all the unhealed stuff from childhood. And Kurt, my fiance, is very similar to me. He's also, I'm a 5'1 manifesting generator. He's a 5'1 generator. We have different beliefs. We have different, like he works in as a consultant. I'm an entrepreneur. Our lives from the outside, like on paper, it wouldn't look like it, air quotes, worked, which I think is usually the opposite. People are like, on paper, it feels so, it looks so great, but when we're together, it doesn't work. For us, it's the opposite. On paper, if he was to write down his list of like things and I was to write down mine, I would be like, no. But it's not about that. It's about our connection and how he makes me feel and the growth that we've had together. But over the last few years, especially living in the van, we're in such close proximity. We have to communicate more. We have to talk, set boundaries, express ourselves, like ask for what we need, etc. I have healed the deepest layers of like codependency. I did not realize how codependent I was and how much I had really abandoned myself and like dimmed myself, self-sacrificed, wasn't my authentic self. And it showed up mostly in the context of my relationship. Like, I didn't fully love myself. And I didn't think that the way I did things and who I was enough. So there was always this like, oh, but there's gotta be more, but there's gotta be more, there's gotta be more. Like, meaning like seeking outside myself rather than being like, no, I'm fucking great, right? And I worked with a somatic therapist, mostly on this, and she helped me uncover so many stories about myself, what's wrong with me, nobody sees me, I don't have value, like really depressing beliefs. And you know, when I left my 9 to 5, I left my 9 to 5 in architecture because I was actually at the point of like questioning why I even wanted to be alive. You've seen me on social, like, you know how like I'm very, I don't want to say positive, but like I have a lot of energy. I have a zest for life. Like I am very alive. But in those moments in 2016, I was really dead inside, and it affirmed all the beliefs I had about myself. Nobody fucking cares about me. What is this all for? What's wrong with me? Like, I'm never gonna have the life I want. I'm never gonna get there. Like, I had so many self-defeating thoughts, and my mindset was really negative. And I had that mindset, not realizing it, right? Because most of those beliefs were subconscious. I start working out. I start getting fit in the gym. I start falling in love with fitness. My body transforms. I feel confident for the first time in my life with my appearance, like with how I looked in the mirror. But I was still hating on myself. It still wasn't enough. I had abs. It still wasn't enough. I had business success. I grew my business to 6 figures, then multiple 6 figures. Wasn't enough. Wasn't happy. And I was like, when is it ever going to be enough? You know? And then I started working with my somatic therapist over a little bit over a year ago. And she helped me identify some of these really like self-deprecating and self-defeating belief systems. And I feel like through the codependency, through uncovering this and realizing that, yes, like I know how important mindset is, and I've known that for years, but when you don't know what you don't know, you can't change it, right? You have these programs running in the back of your head. What's wrong with me? Nobody's ever gonna blah, blah, blah. Like, nobody sees me. What's the point? Like, all of these really depressing thoughts. And I didn't realize I had all these. And I was like, oh my God. And so I feel like Kurt has been so loving to me that it almost made me be like, why are you so not like, why do you love me? Why? I asked him this once. I was like, why do you love me? He's like, what? I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm not used to receiving love. I'm used to being criticized.
My God, this is such a huge thing. I just made a video on this. I just have to let you know because it's been after, especially going through this tough, toxic relationships. It's like give love, you give value, but the toughest learning ever for me is to let in love deeply in me. It's like one foot is in, one foot is out. It's like our need to protect ourselves. It's like I love you, I want you, come here. And I'm like you're very deep, very intense, very alive, woohoo, and like let's go all in. But then while I go in, I'm like, wait a minute, moment, like go away. It's like there is like this wall, it protects me. And this is where I question also my boyfriend, how could, like, why do you love me? Do you really love me? Like, why is it like that? I start to question, are you interested in me? And I'm like, yeah, I'm being with you together, literally now for years. I'm like, yeah. And this self-worthiness, as you mentioned, it's like the more we own it deeply, the more money I made, the more thriving relationship I had. But it's such a mind fuck in terms of you think that you have self-worthiness, but your actions and outcomes show differently in life. So it's like I treated my body like shit, like eating shit, not doing fitness, self-image issues, insecurities coming up, all things, the ugly parts bleeding out. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not owning my words as I say it. And it shows up, as you mentioned. But yeah, I'm curious to know when you said like it showed up in your relationship, like when did you realize that the most? And like how did you change that for the better now? Or what did you learn how, to navigate that?
It honestly, it was a fucking journey. I'm gonna be real. Like, and I feel like a lot of my clients, they come to me for business and then we end up talking about relationships, obviously, you know, and healing codependency and all the self-worth things, right? And it's like, I think in every relationship, there's like a moment where you something happens, there's like a rupture of some sorts, and you get to decide, are you going to come together after the rupture or are you going to break apart? And a lot of people break apart, and a lot some people stay together. And so my parents are still married. They've been married for like 30 years. And I think that for me, I have been of the belief of like, when I get married, like, I don't want to get divorced. Like, I want to fall in love with the person and I want to work to, like, I know relationships are work, you know, and they can be easy and they can be light and love and all the things, but they also require communication and things that, you know, we have to work at them. And Kurt's the same way. And so there was this one moment in the van, actually, it was so funny where I just like lost my shit on him because he was like playing a fucking phone game and I was cleaning the van. And instead of me just saying, "Hey, could you help?" I just like lost it, like psycho girl problems. And I was like, "Oh my God, like I do this and you don't do this," and like blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, like the classic, right? And after this happened, he was like, because he, like, bless his soul, that's never been his experience to me. It's always me being the one that's like freaking out or getting triggered or whatever. Like, he's so calm and grounded and just, you know, and I'm not saying he's perfect.
Wait, your current partner? Oh, yeah, I'm saying, by the way, in our case, I'm the one who is like intense, who brings up the not fights, but like, you know, discussions, certain things, and then yeah, around it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's also kind of just like, you know, we are women, we emote, you know, we feel things, and like we're easier to be like, and men are like, okay, we're gonna like cool it on the emotions, they're gonna be more grounded in logic, and that's beautiful. I believe that's the divine union, right? Like the yin and the yang. We don't, if it was all emotion, it would be a very dangerous place to be. So it was kind of this awakening moment where Kurt was like, look, he calls me Sammy. Sammy, I love you. Like, I'm not going anywhere. You are my ride or die. I want to get married to you. Like, we already are engaged, but like, I want to be married to you. I want to have your babies. I want to do the rest of my life with you. He's just pouring his heart out to me. And I'm like, why am I such an asshole? In my head, I'm like, oh, but then I like had the moment of like, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know, but that was like this moment of, oh my God, my childhood patterns were just playing out right there of, you don't see me, you don't love me, you don't blah, 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 you know, the other things. And so the last 2 years since that experience happened have been deeply healing. Kurt and I have gotten closer than ever. And he knows my background. Like, he knows, like, I grew up with like a dad that was very aggressive. There was a lot of anger and yelling, and you know, like, it's my way or the highway. Like, you don't get to have a say, you know, like this very demanding, controlling, like kind of dictator, not dictator, like dictatorial. Is that the right word? You know, like just like
Very demanding.
very, yeah. And I'm a very, very sensitive person. And so I wasn't allowed to have my emotions, and I wasn't even allowed to have perspectives or opinions or any of that, you know? So I think now that I have the ability to have emotions and it's safe to do so, and I'm not getting screamed at, or, you know, I have a perspective, I was noticing, I preemptively prepare for Kurt to get angry or scream or yell or judge me, and he never did. So I like wanted to react. It's like my body was still trained to like want to react to him, but he wasn't doing anything. Like, he was just sitting, right? So it's like
Oh
actually
my God, this is really true, because when you say that, I had today morning a mental health talk, and I talked about how I turned my pain into purpose. And the biggest thing is, sometimes your mind can be reprogrammed into, okay, that was the past, now it's new, it's not anymore the case. But your body is still used to the tension of this toxicity and things, so it still feels like a threat. And I think the biggest thing I've learned in therapy of this year, healing myself still through, has been, I always like, I love my boyfriend. We're now 3 years together, and he was a part, he was a big part in empowering me to those healings, but it was such a mess. Like, it was a push and pull that I created on my own. And it's like, going from someone who has been, abusive to you, stalking you, not good to you, it's almost very quiet when you're in a healthy relationship. Like, and I felt similar to you, like, I love people and I love to care for him and he's so grounded and caring, but I always bring up this dynamics into our relationship, like, oh, I don't feel good. Oh my God, he doesn't love me. It must be that, and assuming things. And then I felt like a bad bitch in that. I'm like, oh my God, why am I such an asshole? But the thing is, I knew that it's not the case and we talked about it. And I think the biggest implementation it has helped me is when the therapist told me, this is your child ego speaking. There is a child ego and adult ego as well. And the child ego is always assuming things and crying out. It's like screaming like a baby and crying like a baby. This is not right. So it's like using that ego to feel things, but then turning it into the adult ego to communicate, saying, you know, instead of just crying and be pissed and then hopefully he will find out by himself, like, what's wrong with it? I was like, oh, I have to say, like, what you said didn't make me feel good, or I feel triggered and I need my own space, or this is what it felt like. And I always was courageous to say things the way I feel. You know, I have this tough love towards people. I'm very brutal girl towards him and other people.
Me too,
Very,
girl. Me too.
very brutal. Sometimes I'm scared of myself in terms of like what I'm gonna do next. But I think I've learned kind of in those moments, even in romantic relationships, to be more conscious of their communications and recognize these patterns that come up and my own triggers. That has helped me a lot. So I totally understand where you're coming from. Like it's a process.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am so grateful that, and I'm sure you feel this way with your current man too, like that we have these grounded men in our lives to be able to hold space for all of the emotional landscape that is a woman, you know? And like not make it like never once has Kurt ever been like, you're crazy or you're too emotional, you're too blah, blah, blah. He's always just held space for my experience, you know, and been like, I'm here. Like, do I want you to like, I'm not someone who really like yells. That's not it. But I would notice myself either wanting to blame him or project stuff or just, you know, feeling like taking things personally, you know? So yeah, I mean, I think relationships are, and I know they are, like relationships are the biggest healers. Your relationship with your business, your relationship with your man, like all of this is. What I'm so curious about, dude, is like you went through this traumatic, like insane, like this could be the cover of a fucking newspaper story. How have you learned to trust men again?
Yes, that's a good question. That was a tough process. So after I've been through this whole thing in 2019, it took me, how can I say that? I was in the first months a bit numbed. I came back and you know, when it comes to men, after this whole court trial thing, because I told you it was not as like, oh, we broke up and all good. It was like this guy didn't let me go. He kept following me everywhere, to school, to library. He changed the cars and the phones to stalk me. He created like 60 accounts per day on all socials to stalk me out. I
Oh.
couldn't go out anymore by myself. That was so bad because I didn't just get kidnapped once. I mean, even that is a huge trauma. But the thing is, it repeated the second time. And he just abducted me while I was walking outside because he follows me. And then right away we called, like, you know, police. We called them. And the thing is, from that moment, the police said, like, yeah, you know, now you're safe back. Next time when this happens, just please contact us again. I told them, in those moments you get kidnapped, you don't have much time to contact anyone. Like,
Yeah.
you guys have to do something now. And the thing is, in Switzerland, although it's pretty safe here, there was no direct law against that. So they were just too chill around that topic and things. And my mom, obviously my family was really mad. And the third time truly escalated at fullest and I was like gone. And I was lucky because I got found on a motorcycle away from a man who was passing by. And that man was a local police by chance. I got found on the streets while I was crying. And that was, I don't know, something really saving me. And after this experience, I just went to school, and obviously everyone was like wondering, you know, where I am, what I was doing. They had too many questions, and I had a lot of like staring people looking at me and the whole school and talking around me. So I felt very uncomfortable. And everyone said, you have to go to therapy. You cannot end the school year. You have to repeat. And I begged the school director and everyone to that I want to keep trying and keep trying to, you know, graduate and do the exams. So I like did all exams like in 2 weeks. I went all in. It was like after I got kidnapped, the first thing I did was, I'm safe, guys. I'm not gonna go study. So I just like numb myself for 2 fucking weeks. I studied the shit out of me. I went on exams. I graduated as the third best student in school. And after the graduation, all the tears came out. It's like all my pain, the trauma, the things, the fears. I'm like, oh my God, I've made it to the graduation. I got into my dream university back then. You know, it was before my dropout, and I was like so happy. But then to your question, it's like my mindset around guys was like, oh my God, I have to be this independent woman, no boyfriend, no problem, can't trust men. So all the beliefs, you know, it came up. But then deep in me, I knew that big part of my purpose is to be and build with a man my empire, the impact. I want to have children and family. That's something that was so clear to me. So I knew I cannot put all the men into one bucket because one guy messed up with me. So for like in my logical mind, I knew like, okay, I have to learn to retrust guys. Not all guys are the same. And I always had this deep belief there's this one man out of this billion people that will match to me and that will have the patience and the capacity to handle me and my intensity. So that belief was there. But you know, when I dated and then at some point the current boyfriend I have showed up, it was very unexpected, love at first sight. We got to know from a course. From that moment, in the beginning, it was okay because again, as long as you don't go deep, I was always okay with that. But the moment it gets serious, he gets too close, I feel emotionally attached. I'm like, shit, danger, danger. You know, it's like we're getting serious here. And I'm like, how? And then I was like, oh, I cannot trust. What if you cheat? What if you would hurt me? And you know, all my triggers, traumas hit in. And that part, it took so much patience. I pushed him away so many times. Sometimes I'm surprised that we're still together, but it took both ways. Like, I think it was really finding number one, a partner that really has this understanding and true love. And you don't know what true love is until the moment you really experience it. That was for me the case. That's number one. And I think also for me, the power and the daily choice to heal. You know, I had to choose every single day, okay, I'm gonna heal, don't give up, going through these things, and then turning, as we mentioned, these negative things and pains into something bigger, and then every problem is a bigger opportunity for me. So I have to shift that. And whenever that thing, that stress comes up, and I still have that sometimes a little bit, you know, when I don't feel good, you know that everything is just shit in life. I learned kind of from that moment to kind of neutralize the things, to feel the things intense when I feel it, and then one by one address it. And from that moment, also with my faith, like when I started to really believe in God, pray more, and so on, that part really healed me as well. So yeah, that's how I got out of it, so to say, to trust men, because I started to look at the examples of men that were godly, guys that were really good, respectful, and I always saw in my life bad examples, bad experiences, bad evidences, and you know, it's the normal things that I saw, and I had to learn kind of to see what's the other and step by step get into that, and yeah, every single day learn a little bit new, something new about this as well.
I love this. This is like your story is so inspiring. It's so beautiful and I'm so happy for you. I mean, holy shit, to have gone through that and be like, I'm gonna build this incredible empire and get into a relationship with my dream man and I'm not gonna let it stop me. Like, you are an incredibly powerful woman and I'm glad. I'm like, oh, we're gonna be friends. Like, we're gonna be friends after this episode. I'm very excited. But there's this, like, this is the power of your belief system, right? Of like that, when you said to me, you're like, but I had a really strong belief that I knew that there was somebody out there for me that could hold me, handle me, be with me. Without that belief, I don't know that you would be in a relationship right now, you know? And it's like having that like, no, I know that it will happen in due time. And then allowing yourself to have a new experience, you know, and like find evidence for why it is possible. And I think in like when we're looking at just like the abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset, right? It's like scarcity is like never gonna find a man, fuck men, they're all bad. See all the evidence of all the men doing all the bad things, which is like you were saying at the very beginning, like that's the part of like I don't consider myself a feminist because I think feminism goes so hard and it completely emasculates men, and I am not a fan of that. I don't think that's right. I think that there can be a harmony between the sexes, and honestly, I think that's what is going to make this fucking universe heal. But like this whole thing truly around like being willing to have your mind changed, you know, like being willing to be open to a different perspective. What if all men aren't bad? What if all men don't suck? What if blah, 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 blah? And then going to find evidence and expanders, like in manifestation, right? Like expanders to find evidence for what is possible for you. Because I feel like that's how I manifested Gert. I saw evidence of like a few of my friends that were in relationships that they just seemed so happy. And so they just worked together. Like it was just so great. And I'm like, if they can do it, I can do it. Even though I had never been in a relationship like that, I just knew it was possible. And then I just didn't settle until I found what felt like that, you know? So,
No,
yeah.
but it's really what you say. I think the most powerful way on how I manifested things, whether relationships, you know, monetary things, places and things, it's like the insane belief, and it doesn't even have to be 100 things. It's just that one belief in relationship, I knew there was this one man that suits me. In business and calling as well, in my toughest time, obviously I have tons of beliefs, but I this one spark that told me, you got something in you. You have multiple gifts. There is this calling. I don't understand why I am so fucking intense and multi-driven. And so, you know, like, why do I have to be like this? But there was something in me like, it's special. You're chosen to fulfill a very specific mission. I don't think I got these things by randomness. And, you know, moreover, in my business, especially like last year, I got this calling also in as a peace ambassador, politics and diplomacy, and has nothing to do with I do was what I do. But I felt very called to unify entire countries between like South and North Korea. I got like into the circle and invited from the UN. And back then, I started to get into that circle as a peace ambassador, and we advocated like over 15,000 women and the project of Walk Against Rape. So it's like for all the women who've been through these things. And then from there on, the work into diplomacy and peace has started. And I've been telling people, I want to build leadership academies, healing resorts. I'm going to unify South and North Korea, and I'm going to be a person in between that. And I used to cry to my boyfriend every day. Like, I love this. My purpose is so exciting, but it's so heavy. It feels so heavy. It's like a lot of responsibility. Why am I doing this? I could just be, you know, obviously in a job or just be that coach. You know what I mean? Like doing my things. But I knew that coaching is a vehicle to the bigger mission ahead. And it's like, okay, coaching is really interesting because I think God put me in this spot to learn a lot about myself, the healings, the speakings. You have to have mastered so many skill sets as a coach and as an artist. And from there on, it's like the political picture, improving health system, education system, unifying countries. And that's what activated in me. So I really feel that our purpose is given to us. It's not even what we find. It has been allocated to you since birth. And that thing, that belief, I think is what created so many wonders. So yeah, I really believe you can do anything that is in
Yeah.
you.
Oh my God, I just love you so much. Our stories are so parallel in this part of life with the calling and knowing. And it's like, I wouldn't even ever choose this. It's like, it chose me and it just pulled me. And it was like, nope, bitch, buckle up. We're going somewhere. You know what I mean? And it's funny. I think Sahara Rose said this once pretty recently. I saw like a post she made and it said, like, most of the well-known spiritual teachers, speakers, and big entrepreneurs right now started as coaches. And I was like, Wow. It was like it was like this awakening moment, because for me, I know for me, my like bigger, higher calling is speaking and kind of like being a spiritual teacher. It's like having the podcast, being on stage, speaking, amping people up, activating people and waking them up, writing books and all of this, and really sharing my teachings. But the way to start that now in hindsight, of course, is coaching, right? How else would you build a name and build a presence and build a platform and to then move you forward? It's kind of like Jordan Peterson, you know? He was just
Yeah.
uploading his lectures on YouTube from university, right, in Canada. And then he becomes this global speaker and he gets, you know, like that to me is it's really cool how you're called to one industry, let's say, and then that is like it opens the floodgates for so many more opportunities. And we don't have to know steps 2, 3 through 10. We just have to know step one. And I think for both of us, it was okay, cool. It was coaching. And then, oh my God, all these other avenues are opening up, speaking and teaching and, you know, doing your freaking work of unifying North and South Korea. Like, what? It's so incredible. And how big we really can go. You know, it's not just coaching. I think a lot of the women that listen to this podcast can resonate. Like they know it's not just about coaching. It's like a blip in the scheme of their life's work and this big calling. So thank you for speaking to that, because I feel like this is like one of the big things I'm even navigating as like, wow, like things are expanding. Like I'm feeling really
Yeah, right. And I think it's also like, you know, when you mentioned that we start with coaching, I also realized a similar pattern that a lot of these people are in the coaching teaching space and then they grow bigger. And I also think what helped me is sometimes as a visionary, I think only of the things that I truly want. I see like the stage light flashing. Woo, I'm like on stage, the people are there. I'm like spiritual. I'm like unifying countries, being on TVs, and so on. And because I'm not there yet, I'm like, oh, it's so frustrating, man. I'm not here just to do a business coach. Like, am I
No.
even the right thing? And then, you know, it feels like I'm not playing big enough. And that's where I realized, like, okay, I don't have to marry my offers or be attached to that. And this is a bigger thing. Like, being okay with this temporary situation, accepting it, it's like the stone for the bigger stuff. And when I started helping coaches, beginning, you know, just coaches, aspiring entrepreneurs, I'm like, okay, I'm not married to that offer. I start there. And then my niche got bigger. I started to serve like Hollywood filmmakers, other cinematographers, and it got more diverse with specific offers, and it got further and further. And until then, you know, it got me on stages more and it expanded. I'm like, oh my God, now we're speaking now because like to this kind of I can see that more, but I still don't know how, right? So it's like I'm still surrendering, but I know that it will happen. And there are so many incredible things, you know that as well. In a short fraction of time, it can really switch, like 6 months, 1 year, even 3 years. It's so insane. It's like 10 years in 1 year that I've experienced. So yeah, I'm really excited where, you know, all of this is going to be and what our next speech will be when we're having a next podcast. Probably whole world has shifted again.
I know, I know. Isn't it funny to think like this is just a piece of art in time? And if we were, you know, fast forward a year, like where we will be, we will listen back to this episode and be like, remember when we were there and now we're here? Like how crazy that is when you just constantly put yourself out there and advocate and share what you do and share what you're about and let yourself be seen, like truly. So yeah, this is amazing. We could talk for fucking hours. I usually like I shared with you when right before we hit record, I'm like, yeah, usually we do like 30 minutes. We're like at 50. I'm like, yo, I'm just loving this convo. I didn't want it to end. So thank you so much for your time and just like being part of this. If people want to come find you and connect with you, where should they do that?
Yeah, sure. So they can connect with me on Instagram, also in June, or on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm also on YouTube. So basically on all socials, but I'm very active on Instagram and LinkedIn mainly.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, we'll be sure to put that stuff in the show notes of this episode. Thank you so much again, babe. This was so fun. I'm so excited to like collaborate and do dope shit, be on stages together, change the fucking world, heal the planet together, you know, NBD.
Hey. All right. right. Well, thank you so much as well for this opportunity. And I really love the energy, the vibe. I feel like we're gonna burn like the stage with our energy and the things. But that's really great. And I also hope for everyone who's listening that to keep going, I think requires a lot of like patience, humbleness, and that's the duality as an entrepreneur. I kind of feel like we're so much on fire. We are urgent and it's such an important quality. But I also think this patience, it's like at the same time. And I also realized, by the way, with the best entrepreneurs, we're so controversial. I think that the most successful people I speak to, they really think they're like superior. They know that they're really good at something and they have this courage to speak up and to know, like, I'm so good. But at the same time, they are the ones I feel they have the deepest insecurities of, like, am I good enough? And it's very weird to have that both. And I think it's the same thing. Like, they are super patient and they are the most impatient people on planet. And I feel like they're very competitive and at the same time, they're the most collaborative people. So it's like, just be it all, own it. And it's just like learning how to navigate that as well and have a lot of grace for yourself and the people.
100%. Yeah, it's like I always say this to my clients, like we're all just like walking hypocrites, you know? Like it really is like just being everything all at once, which makes absolutely no sense. And when you just realize that there's so many parts, you just own them all and it's all good. So, thank you, babe. I love this convo. I'm so excited for everyone to hear and listen, and for those of you that are still here with us, we made it through almost an hour. I'm so proud of you. Take a screenshot and tag us on social. Let us know your biggest takeaway. I know Ozan's story is so inspiring, and make sure you're subscribed. And I would just absolutely love to hear from you. This podcast means the world to me. I love speaking with you all, sharing amazing stories, bringing on amazing guests. So I'll see you guys next week. And again, thank you so much. Bye, babes. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Sam Altieri Show. I am so excited to hear what your biggest takeaways were. I want to connect with you more. So please find me on Instagram at Sam Altieri, and I will be sharing even more content to unleash your most unapologetic expression and also create a wildly wealthy life and business. If you want to be entered to win a free one-on-one business and wealth activation session with me, you just have to take a moment to leave a rating and a review of this podcast and just send my team a quick screenshot. Your support means the freaking world to me, and it really helps the podcast reach more women who are ready to show up unapologetically and create a wildly wealthy life and business. All the details for the giveaway can be found in the show notes of this episode, and I cannot wait to talk to you soon.